Chapter 30. Lay Down Your Life. The next morning, Sandra rose early and rushed back to the manor to shower and change. Even so, she arrived at the little white meeting hall 10 minutes early. To her great surprise, James pulled into the parking lot just after she did. He'd still been asleep on the couch when she had left the lodge that morning. "You came," she remarked with astonishment as he got out of his car. "What a lovely surprise." Striding over with a cheerful expression, he lifted her chin tenderly with his forefinger. "I thought I'd check things out here," he replied casually. "It's all part of the process." "Is your family expecting you?" He nodded. "I told them at breakfast." Even though she was tired, Sandra smiled brightly as she walked into the hall with James. He was coming with her. They were going together to a place that she wanted to be. "Hey, how many cups of coffee did you have this morning?" Andrew chided his brother as James walked in. Andrew looked very bleary-eyed himself. "Mum says you had more," James replied with a smile. Sandra looked at them curiously. "How late did you two stay up?"
"It was past 4," James grinned. "I was wired. If Andrew hadn't fallen asleep on top of his Bible, we might still be talking."
"What did I miss out on?"
"Lots," James replied. "I'll share it with you sometime."
"Tuesday night over dinner?"
"Tuesday night sounds good. I only have to work till 6.
That's if I still have a job," he added with a chuckle. As others filtered into the hall and greeted one another cheerfully, Sandra sat down beside James. They were right behind Andrew and his happy clan. Suddenly, Sandra remembered the business card she had in her purse. She found it easily enough and tapped Andrew on the shoulder. "I was asked to give you this," she said when Andrew turned around. "Do you remember Brett Lawson?" she asked. "He wants Pastor Bryant to give him a call." Andrew smiled to hear his former title. He took the card thoughtfully. "Brett Lawson," he mused. "The name sounds vaguely familiar, but..." Lisa, Andrew's wife, turned to Sandra. "Is he fairly tall, with blonde, wavy hair?" Sandra nodded. "You'll remember him," she encouraged her husband. "He was in your Sunday school class for years."
"Okay, now I remember," Andrew smiled. "I think he was more interested in the girls than the class, but he was a good kid."
"I'll call him," he assured Sandra. "More interested in the girls than the class," Sandra smiled to herself. "Maybe not much has changed." Beth began playing music on the piano, and everyone finished up their conversations and settled back quietly to focus on the reason they had all come together. They were there that morning to remember their Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice he had made for the world. Thomas gave the exhortation that morning, and it was on Jesus' willing sacrifice. He talked a lot about the crucifixion and the wonderful plan God had from the beginning of the world to forgive our sins in Christ. He talked about the pain Jesus would have endured, the rejection and the humiliation. And then Thomas directed everyone's attention to the practical implications. "By this we know love," he quoted, "because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." "Jesus died for our sins so that we could be forgiven," Thomas reminded his audience. "And Jesus died to show us the way. He said, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.'" Throughout Thomas's exhortation, Sandra had been reminded of the many powerful, perspective-altering verses she had come across in the last couple of months. "Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you." It was the perfect exhortation for what lay ahead later that evening with Laurie and Michelle. After all the lonely years, Sandra's brother was coming for dinner. Once the congregation had taken the time to remember the Lord Jesus Christ in the bread and wine, a special collection was passed around to help with a school for orphan children in India. Sandra was only too happy to put in a 20. James looked at her thoughtfully for a moment and then contributed something as well. A final hymn and prayer were sung, and then there was an announcement that caught almost everyone by surprise. Craig Simon stood up and said that he had a letter to read. "To all our dear friends," Craig began reading from the letter. "As you know, we have been attending your meetings regularly,
and have had many personal classes with you to discuss the Bible. We have found the Bible speaks clearly and consistently from beginning to end of God's plan for his glory to be manifest in this earth. We're so thankful that God has called us to repent of our former ways and be heirs of salvation in Christ and citizens of the coming kingdom. Please make the necessary arrangements for the four of us to be baptized. Sincerely, James had been listening politely as the letter was read, but now he looked down at Sandra with a smile. Jim and Mary Bryant, Craig read, and Andrew and Lisa. Your family? She whispered in astonishment. They told me about it this weekend, he whispered back. There was quite a stir about such wonderful news, and James and Sandra were caught up in the excitement. I've never seen a baptism before, she told James as they left the hall to head to their separate cars. Where will it happen? I think they've decided on the small lake in behind the chapel, James replied. My mum and Lisa are somewhat squeamish about it, but Dad and Andrew think it's the obvious choice. If there wasn't a lake, Sandra asked, what would they do? Find water somehow, he smiled. I guess they would look for a river, rent a pool, fill a bathtub, whatever works. Sandra mulled it over as she drove to the manor following James. As they walked into the manor together, James stopped hesitantly and took Sandra's hand. I hope you don't mind if I work on my bank presentation this afternoon, he said. I know it's unfair to ask you to put on a dinner and then be too busy to help, he added apologetically, but I really do have some more work to do, and pausing uncomfortably, James shook his head. Well, you see, the full truth is, I don't like to visit women alone in their apartments for any extended length of time. You don't? Sandra clarified in surprise. Why not? I just don't think it's right. James smiled firmly. It's a setup for temptation. Sandra looked up uncertainly. In university, she and her friends had been in and out of one another's dorms freely. Really? She said. I would never have thought of it like that. James shrugged. I was raised rather conservatively, he explained. But the older I get, the more I appreciate the wisdom behind it all. I'll come over in half an hour, he promised, so save me a few things to do, and just call if you want me to pick anything else up at the store. Looking up, Sandra smiled. This man has integrity, she thought. How did I ever get so lucky? Or was God guiding me? I feel like I can trust James completely. And that's unusual for me. The dinner was planned for 7, and it was only 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I have all the time I need to get the dinner ready, she assured him. Don't worry about it. Thanks for understanding, James said, as they reached his floor. I'll bring up the groceries. After the groceries were put away in the fridge and James had left, Sandra looked around the kitchen and living area. Some cleaning needed to be done. A little music would help, she thought. Remembering Peter's CD, she took it out of her purse. As she opened the case to take out the disc, a small note fell out. She picked it up and read. Sandra, when you listen to my favourite song on this CD, I want you to know that we thank God for the way he's worked through you with my brother. You're an answer to our prayer. James and I had a long talk, the best talk we've had in years. I know James has a lot of searching to do, and it may take a long time, but at least he's opened the doors. He's willing to look at what we've been trying to show him. Thanks, and may God be with you and your brother. Your friends, Peter and Jessica. I never thought I might be an answer to someone's prayers, Sandra thought with astonishment. How interesting. Putting the CD on, she gave her apartment a quick tidy as she listened to the music. It brought to mind plenty of beautiful memories of warm, sunny days in gorgeous gardens with great friends to talk to and inspiring thoughts to consider. God, I've been so blessed by you, she thought, in ways I would never have thought to choose for myself. It was going to be a couple of busy weeks ahead while Peter and Jessica were on their honeymoon. Derek was taking charge of the gardening crew. Sandra and Alan were booked to work every day except weekends. Finally, she would work a full 5-day week again. As she vacuumed the living room floor, Sandra still wasn't completely convinced that this second meeting with her brother would go any better than the first, but for James's sake, she was determined to give it her best effort. When the vacuum had been put away, she opened the fridge door and took out the food that she needed to prepare for the meal. As she chopped up the garlic for the steak marinade and washed mushrooms to pan fry, she thought long and hard about meeting Laurie again. Only this time, it wasn't a fanciful daydream. It was a thoughtful consideration of the facts. I always envisioned Laurie looking after me, she thought with a smile. And here I am, preparing to look after him. How ironic. But maybe, she considered, this is the better way. After all, Laurie hasn't really ever had a family either. He grew up without a dad and saw little of his mum, just like me. He probably doesn't know how to treat a sister any more than I know how to treat a brother. And, she mused, since I've been learning about God's love and Jesus laying down his life for us while we were sinners, I guess I'm the one who needs to show this kind of love. Scrubbing the potatoes, Sandra thought about all she had learned. Even the exhortation that morning and the little note she'd just received from Peter and Jess had been reminders of a new way of thinking. Perhaps, she considered, it's not about what God can do for us. It's about what God can do through us. With that in mind, she thought through the kind of sister she wanted to be, regardless of how Laurie might respond. I'm going to show God's love to him, she decided, whether or not he cares about me. I want to make him and Michelle feel welcome here, and I do actually have something to share with them that is far more valuable than anything they own. I doubt we'll discuss it tonight, but maybe someday we can. God has freely given me this invitation, and I can freely pass it on to others. How wonderful! With such an objective in mind, Sandra did her best to make everything as special as it could be. The raspberry cheesecake, made with yogurt and cottage cheese, was picture perfect, the tablecloth carefully pressed, and the dishes set out neatly. She ran over to the grocery store for a bouquet of zinnias and lime green napkins. In the middle of the table, she arranged the giant, brightly coloured flowers in a tall blue vase, surrounding them with a flourish of swirled green napkins in every glass. A soft song began quietly as Sandra stepped back to observe her work. It was Peter's Prayer, as she had come to call it. She listened to the melody with new meaning, carefully pulling one wilted flower from the vase. Lord, I pray that your will be with Laurie, Sandra whispered. Even if things don't go as I want them to, even if he doesn't care about me, I'm going to do the best that I can and leave him in your hands. He belongs to you. Please help me to always remember that. There was a knock on the door. Sandra ran to open it and was pleased to see James. Wow, Sandra, this is even better than I expected, he exclaimed, looking at the table. Sandra smiled up at him, always thankful for his praise. So what can I do to help? Do you want me to barbecue the steaks? Not having any idea whether or not James was an incompetent cook, as he so often proclaimed, Sandra hesitated. The steak was the most important part of the meal. However, she could see in James's eyes that he really wanted to help. James's feelings mean more to me than my brother's, she thought. I'd love you to help, she replied sincerely, taking the veggies out of the fridge to make a salad. She looked over at the clock and calculated a plan. They'll only take 5 minutes aside, and Laurie should be here around 7, so why don't we wait until we've welcomed them in, and then that way they won't get overdone. James was happy to comply, but there was still half an hour to wait. Sandra handed him a knife. You could help me chop the salad, she smiled warmly. For the next half an hour they chopped up the veggies as the mushrooms sizzled, the potatoes baked, and the steaks marinated close by. Tiger came over and purred contentedly around their legs. Do you think he's forgiven me? James asked with a twinkle in his eyes. Without another word, he uncovered one marinating steak and sliced off a tiny piece of meat. Here, kitty, kitty, he called, holding out the titbit. James, Sandra laughed, taking out cans of frozen pina colada. You're giving him steak? Tiger devoured the morsel. From then on, he selectively purred around James's legs, reaching up now and then on his haunches to see if any more titbits were coming. I think I won him over, James smiled, the same way you won me. What do you mean? Sandra questioned, adding ice to the blender. He chuckled. When you made me that raspberry pie and insisted I keep it, I thought, now this is the kind of compassion I've been looking for. Sandra smiled thoughtfully. Was it compassion? She asked herself. Or was I serving myself in a roundabout way? It doesn't matter, she decided. Compassion is now the spirit I choose to have. Looking up at James with admiration, she replied quietly, I was looking for compassion too, and I know I've found it. In you. James was suddenly at a loss for words, but that was okay, because just then the intercom buzzed. Laurie and Michelle had arrived. Sandra felt her stomach do a flip-flop inside. She looked up at James nervously, and he looked down at her with a smile. "Are you ready?" he asked. "I hope so," she said. Pressing the buzzer, James let them into the ground floor lobby. Then they waited for the knock on the door. Seeing Sandra's anxiety, James squeezed her arm. "You'll be fine," he said encouragingly. "Any guy would be proud to have a sister like you." With a grateful heart, Sandra followed James to the door. Mentally, she rehearsed all her thoughts from before. "I'll be the sister he needs to have," she reminded herself. "Welcome. Come on in," James said, opening the door. Laurie and Michelle stepped forward a little awkwardly, dressed in fairly normal, everyday attire, looking like normal, everyday people. James shook their hands, and Sandra, who had planned to give hugs, chickened out and followed suit. "I'm so glad you've come," she said, beaming brightly. Laurie was quiet, but Michelle bubbled over. "At last we meet, Sandra," she smiled. "And you're as pretty as Laurie told me you were. Thank you for inviting us." James took Laurie outside on the deck to barbecue the steaks. 5 minutes aside?" he clarified, looking over at Sandra. She nodded, still reeling from Michelle's unexpected compliment. "Did Laurie really tell her I was pretty?" "Would either of you like a drink?" she inquired timidly, looking at Michelle. Michelle quickly chose from the selection on the counter. "Pina colada would be great for both of us, thanks," she said. "It's our favourite." Passing her a drink to take to Laurie on the deck, Sandra smiled appreciatively at Michelle. She wasn't a blonde like Sandra had always imagined. Instead, Michelle had short, highly stylized brown hair. Wearing white-heeled sandals, she was quite petite, with small, elegant facial features and hazel eyes. Well-placed makeup made her attractive. A heavy gold necklace and diamond studs were the only conspicuous evidence of superfluous wealth. The dinner went well. The steaks were perfectly grilled. "James may know more about cooking than he's ever let on," Sandra decided. She did her best to be a gracious hostess, and James made a great effort to keep the conversation going. "How long have you been in Stirling?" James asked her brother, picking up a forkful of sautéed mushrooms and a slice of tender steak. "I came out here in my teens," Laurie told him. "Great steaks, by the way," he said with a nod in James' direction. "A good friend of mine moved here with his family and invited me to come along. I've never gone back." "Same here," James nodded. "Only my brother and I came to Nova Scotia to work for my uncle. I was just out of high school." Laurie and James compared notes and discovered they'd both moved out within a year of each other. "What about you, Michelle?" James asked. "I grew up in the Maritimes," she replied. "I'm one of the lucky ones." James continued asking interesting questions involving everyone at the table, but suddenly it became a little more personal. "So, Laurie," James asked, passing around the salad for the second time, "what do you remember about Sandra when you were growing up? Was she always as sweet as she is today?" Laurie chuckled, glancing briefly at Sandra and then back over to James. "I can't say that I was the greatest brother," he admitted. "I think we were too far apart in age. Sandra was always begging to tag along, but I was 7 years older. It just wasn't cool. I thought I was finally going to have the chance to make it up to her this weekend," he said, looking furtively in Sandra's direction again. "But that's just how things go for me. Michelle and I rarely even see each other." Resentment rose in Sandra's heart, but she dismissed it evenly. His plans and his status have always been more important to him than people, she thought. Maybe that's how it always will be. But it doesn't matter anymore. Laurie isn't all I have. God has shown me his love and brought me to James and so many others. As Sandra enjoyed the dinner, she watched Laurie talk amiably to James. "I wish I could have such an easy conversation with my brother," she thought. And then she caught herself. "No," she decided. "I'm not going to get upset about this. I'm just going to show Laurie the love I wish he would show me." With such constant self-talk and determination, Sandra didn't allow anything to get her down. She served the dessert graciously, enjoying James's compliments and overlooking the fact that Laurie never once praised her for anything. "Hey, beautiful," James said to her, looking over affectionately. "Do you think I could have another tiny slice of that cheesecake? It's just too good to resist." Blushing just a little, Sandra served James another slice. The term of endearment James used was flattering, and the public acknowledgement that she was more than just his housekeeper meant a great deal. Laurie looked over with interest, but he didn't seem surprised. "Did you hear that your sister landed a new job this week?" James asked Laurie as he took a forkful of the cake. "No, I didn't," Laurie replied. But that second helping looks good. Another slice for me too, please, he asked, holding his plate out to Sandra. Same size as James's. Sandra cut another slice as James relayed the news. Yes, Sandra's going to be working for the Star Academy Private School. You know the one just near the Atlantic Superstore? With the big dinosaur in front, Michelle clarified. That's the one, Sandra and James both replied simultaneously. I've heard some really good things about that school, Michelle said. Good for you, Sandra. Laurie nodded his approval, but didn't meet his sister's eyes. So I guess you'll be better off financially then, he queried. That must be a relief. It's a great relief, Sandra replied with a smile, thinking, I just don't understand why he hardly even looks at me. And then she began to absorb what Laurie had said. He knows I've had financial struggles, she mused. She looked up quickly at James, but his eyes were firmly fixed on his unfinished cake. James must have talked to him, she reasoned. Maybe Laurie is one of my friends. Later on, when James and Laurie were having their business discussion huddled over laptops in the living room, Michelle helped Sandra clean up in the kitchen. You did a fabulous job tonight, she praised, drying off the salad bowl. I'm not a cook. We have to eat out a lot. I'm glad you enjoyed it, Sandra said evenly, looking over at Michelle. She's a nice person, she thought. I could get along with her easily, but how does she ever put up with my brother? As if reading her thoughts, Michelle put a hand on Sandra's shoulder. I'm sorry about Laurie, she said compassionately, speaking quietly so no one else would hear. I know he comes across as uncaring, sometimes, Michelle sighed. He's not really like that deep down. You see, Laurie's very good at what he does because it consumes him. He lives and breathes every decision he makes. But he can be completely oblivious to everything else that's going on right in front of him. In a sensitive tone of voice, she added, I think, Sandra, that for some reason with you, he has this burden of guilt. He feels he's always let you down, and I think that makes it difficult for him to just relax and enjoy your company. He's been very anxious about meeting you. Sandra stopped scrubbing the barbecue fork and stared at Michelle. Is that it? She clarified. It's not that he just doesn't like me. No, it's definitely not that, Michelle assured her, laying down the plate she was drying and picking up another. I know he thinks you're a great person. He just doesn't always know how to show it. Maybe I've been too intense with Laurie, just as Peter was with James, Sandra considered. Maybe I need to back off a bit and leave it in God's hands. So if you're right, Sandra surmised as she resumed scrubbing, then what can I do to make things better? What you did tonight was really good, Michelle nodded. Just let him know you accept him as he is and you're happy to enjoy the time he has to give you. James and Laurie talked for at least a couple of hours while Sandra and Michelle visited in the kitchen. They'd both lived completely different lives and had very different goals and aspirations, but when it was time for everyone to go, Sandra felt they had paved the way for their relationship to grow. And while she didn't feel much closer to her brother than she had before, Sandra felt she could now at least understand him. A raw, bleeding wound had begun to heal. Goodbye, Michelle, she said warmly, giving her a hug. It's been lovely getting to know you. Sandra looked over at Laurie. He stood aloof, with his hand on the doorknob. Should I give him a hug or not? She wondered. Is that too much pressure? No, it isn't, she decided. He's my brother, and he needs to know he's completely accepted. Goodbye, Laurie, she smiled, stepping towards him with outstretched arms. We'd love to have you over again sometime. Laurie responded to her hug stiffly at first, but then he patted her back. You're a wonderful hostess, Sandra, he said. We will gladly come again. Sandra and James walked out to the hallway to watch until Laurie and Michelle had reached the elevator. They waved goodbye, and when they were gone, Sandra turned to James. I'm so glad you thought to invite them, she said thankfully. You were right. They are just people, and I think we made them feel welcome. James smiled down warmly. You did very well, Sandra, he said. I know it wasn't easy. Thanks for your support. I could never have pulled it off without you. He nodded. You're welcome. It was no trouble at all. Sandra had expressed her thanks, but she didn't feel she had truly expressed her gratitude. James, she said earnestly, it's more than that. It was a fabulous idea. I am so very thankful for a friend like you. Had Sandra not felt bound by the agreement to keep their relationship from becoming too involved, she would have thrown her arms around his neck and said, I love you. But it was okay. She could see in James's eyes that he understood. Reaching out his hand, he squeezed hers tight.